If you watched any television news this week, you saw that the David Petraeus show came back to Washington, and after this episode, it's clear that the next president will be facing a war in Iraq. After testimony this week from the U.S. Commander of Forces in Iraq, there will be as many as 130,000 troops there by next year. Plans for withdrawals have been suspended. And aside from the testy back and forth on Capitol Hill, the story of the war in Iraq has evolved, at least at this stage, into the story of a relationship between a general, Petraeus, and his president, George W. Bush.
General Petraeus says he'll need time to consolidate his forces and assess how this reduced American presence will affect conditions on the ground before making measured recommendations on further reductions. And I've told him he'll have all the time he needs.
This approach does not allow establishment of a set withdrawal timetable. However, it does provide the flexibility those of us on the ground need to preserve the still fragile security gains our troopers have fought so hard and sacrificed so much to achieve.
Voices of this war, but fade back into time across other wars and other presidents, say LBJ or Harry Truman. Here are the voices of their generals.
The issues involving divergent ideals and ideologies have been determined on the battlefields of the world.
Within his capabilities, the enemy of Vietnam is waging total war all day, everywhere. He believes in force, and his intensification of violence is limited only by his resources and not by any moral inhibitions.
The voices of Generals Douglas MacArthur and William Westmoreland. They were the voices of World War II, the Korean War, and Vietnam. We've asked retired Colonel Paul Hughes to talk to us about the news this week from Petraeus in Washington and these curious relationships between presidents and their generals. In 2003, Colonel Hughes actually worked for the Coalition Provision Authority in Iraq. He's now at the U.S. Institute of Peace in Washington, D.C. Good morning, and what do you make of the Bush-Petraeus relationship in a historical context?
Well, good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here. The relationship is something that naturally develops between a commander-in-chief and one of the generals that serves him. But the curious thing about this particular relationship is that the president has decided to talk to a commander whose focus is entirely on one country rather than on a region and rather than on broader national interests outside of Iraq. And I think that's the confusing thing for, I think, many of us who have watched this war, is why is the president only relying on this one general rather than the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, or more importantly, the missing piece is the theater commander, who had been Admiral William Fallon until he just resigned and retired from the Navy.
Well, certainly Bush's style is one of absolute complete loyalty, but even taking that out of the equation, it does appear as though Petraeus is the guy who explains the bad news, and then Bush sort of says, well, there's nothing I can do. This is what the general says we have to do, which suggests, first of all, that Bush doesn't want to deliver bad news. And number two, it's kind of at odds with, civilian control of the military. I mean, isn't Bush supposed to be running the show here?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, what's remarkable about this conversation today was that back in 1951, Truman fired MacArthur.
Yeah.
On this day because of...
On this day?
On this day.
Oh, that's incredible. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, because of his comments, his efforts to advocate for a broader war against China in the Far East during the Korean War. I should say it was in 52. But nonetheless, the president appears to have abdicated civilian control to the military, and that's something that should not happen. And while the military officers... completely are loyal to the idea of civilian control of the military, it has to be put into play. It has to actually have some activity behind it. The thing that I find disturbing about this is the lack of discussion about national interests in the region and how Iraq fits into protecting our national interests or serving them or furthering them.
Yeah, that seems to be gone. All that rhetoric is gone. And even from the perspective of troops, I mean, there was an announcement that they're going to be doing 12-month rotations rather than 15-month rotations. Mm-hmm. But I can't see any good news here for the troops. And oddly, you know, when Petraeus was asked about the troop levels, he really dodged the question. Mm-hmm. He wasn't saying that mm-hmm. it was his role, that he was basically relying on the kinds of authorities you were talking about, the Joint Chiefs and the, you know, the head of the army. They were determining the troop levels. So it's all kind of bureaucratically out of control somewhere. Well, how does that work, Colonel Hughes?
Well, the way it should work is that the theater commander is the combatant commander. He is the one charged with actually implementing the war fighting and controlling it. The resourcing comes from Washington, D.C. through the Secretary of Defense and the Joint Chiefs. They are the one, and the services, particularly the Army and the Marine Corps in this case, they're the ones who are charged with raising and training and organizing and equipping the force that then is sent out by the direction of the Joint Chiefs to the combatant commander.
Well, this is completely alarming because it sounds like what you're saying, that not only is the new president going to have a war to deal with, but they're also going to have to deal with this complete reshuffling of the chain of command in these big resource questions.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's a tremendous burden on any president, whether they are experienced in this business or not. It's just a really complex issue. And the way it has been handled by this administration, in my view, has left a lot to be desired.
Well, Colonel Paul Hughes, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much, and thanks so much for that historical detail on Douglas MacArthur. That's terrific. You made my day.
My pleasure.
Retired Colonel Paul Hughes is at the Institute of Peace in Washington, D.C.
That's exactly the question I had, though, about who makes the decision about the troop levels, because Petraeus was so explicit in saying, I'm not the guy who decides how many troops, but it's actually very complicated. And we'll talk more about that.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.